to the wives in this passage. One is the responsibility of submission. You see that in verse 22. And he develops that thought in verse 23 and 24. He gives you the responsibility of submission in verse 22, and then he develops that idea in verse 23 and 24. But then a second responsibility for the wives is down in verse 33, where at the very end of that verse he says, and the wives see that she reverence her husband. So the responsibility of submission, the responsibility of reverence. And then when you look at other scriptures, you find that other responsibilities are laid out. For example, when you read in the book of Titus, you see where it says that the older women are to teach the younger women. And one thing that the older women are to teach the younger women is to love their husbands. So obviously, even though it's not said right here in Ephesians 5, obviously God expects a wife to love her husband. But then also he expects a wife to submit to her husband, and he expects a wife to reverence her husband. Those are the responsibilities laid out. In verse 22, he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. He doesn't say submit yourselves to somebody else's husband, but to your own husband. Your responsibility is to your husband. You are to submit to your own husband. And I've always found it interesting that you'll have ladies who will at least portray a spirit of submission with certain men, like maybe their boss or somebody else, but then don't display that same spirit with their husband. I find that strange. I find that it's strange that a lady would go to work and her boss tell her what to do, and her, yes, sir, no, sir, I'll do that, I'll get right on it, blah, 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 all that, but then not display a submissive spirit to her own husband. I just find that odd. But what he says is very clear as far as I'm concerned. The wives are to submit to their own husbands as unto the Lord. That means you are to see your submission to your husband as submission unto the Lord. And that's really what it is. Since God is the one who tells wives to submit to their husbands, when a wife submits to her husband, she's not only submitting to her husband, but to who? To the Lord. Because he's the one that wrote this, right? This isn't something that some man came up with. This is the inspired word of God. This is given by inspiration just like anything else in the Bible. So God's the author of this. Even though Paul might have been the one that gave this to the Ephesians, it was God that gave this to Paul. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So this is the inspired word of God. So whenever a woman submits to her husband, ultimately she is submitting to the Lord. And there is also the idea that when you submit, you are to do it as unto the Lord, in the sense that you're doing it because you want to please the Lord. You're doing it because it's your desire to honor the Lord and obey the Lord in this area of your life. And I think all of us who are saved should want to obey God. And I hope y'all will agree with me here. I think all of us who are saved should want to obey God in every area of our life. Amen? Whatever area it is, our desire should be to honor the Lord, to please the Lord, to do whatever it is that he tells us to do. And I'll just say this, for whatever it's worth, any area of our life where we're unsubmissive to God and we refuse to do it his way, that's a problem area. And it's a spirit of rebellion is what it is. And the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's what the Bible says. Now, y'all think about that. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And in any area of our life where our attitude is we're going to do what we want, not what God wants, that's a spirit of rebellion is what that is. And God doesn't take that lightly. So we need to keep these things in mind. You can choose to do it the way you want to, as I said. But one, you're going to have problems if you don't do it God's way. And two, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble. Because the Lord is the one that expects this, and there's no possible way that a family will ever be what it is supposed to be if the wives and husbands aren't doing what they're told to do in the Bible. Notice verse 23 and 24, this idea is developed. He says, for the husband is the head of the wife. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He makes a comparison here. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. I don't think anybody in here would argue with that, because that's what the Bible clearly teaches, that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's the head. Those of us who are saved, we make up the body of Christ, right? He's the head. We're the body. We're all members of his body, and that thought will be brought out even more later on in this same chapter. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. He's the Savior of the body in the sense that we're the body and he's our Savior. He's the one that has saved our souls. And he's the Savior of the body also in the sense that he keeps us safe as his body. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, positionally speaking, you may have a local church that rebels against the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's something that happens quite often, really. You may have a local church where the people within that church choose to not do things the Bible way and not be in subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. But positionally speaking, Jesus Christ is the head, and the body of Christ is subject to him, positionally speaking. That's the way it is. Now, again, practically speaking, we may not always be subject to our head like we need to be, but spiritually, he's the head, we're the body, and in that sense, the body is always subject to the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, look at it, so let the wives be to their own husbands. There that is again. To their own husbands in everything. In everything. Is that what it says? That's what it says. So in everything, in financial matters, the wives are to be subject to their own husbands. In spiritual matters, the wives are to be subject to their own husbands. Amen. We're having fun tonight, ain't we? I tell you all this, and I thought about it last night. I was laying in bed thinking, do you know I have never, and this is a gospel truth, I have never in all the years of being in the ministry, 20-something years now, I've never had one woman ever get mad with me or get offended with me or get upset with me or get bitter with me when I preached on how husbands were to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Never. I hadn't. But I'm telling you, God is my witness, and my wife will back it up because she's been with me every step of the way. I've had many a woman get mad with me just for dealing with the verses that I just read to you right there. I'm talking get mad, pooch your lip out so far they tripped over it when they left that day. Big time mad. And I don't understand why they take it personally and direct their frustration toward me. It's like they think I came up with the rules. I didn't come up with the rules. Y'all clear on that? So if you leave here tonight, ladies, and you upset, You can project your anger at Brother Keith and say, you know, whatever you want to say, but I'm going to tell you right now, what it is a spirit of rebellion in your heart toward God is what it is. Because who came up with the rules? Brother Keith didn't. So don't take it personally with me. If you have a problem with it, you take it up with the Lord when you get home tonight or wherever you are. Because he's the one that said it. And he said, let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. That's financial matters. That's spiritual matters. I don't believe the wife is supposed to be the one that dictates where the family goes to church. I don't believe that for one second. I believe that is messed up is what I believe that is. When the wife just tells the husband, this is where I'm going to church, you can come if you want to, she's got a spirit of rebellion in her heart. That's wrong. The husband is the one that is to decide on spiritual matters like that, not the wife. And I don't know the times that I have seen men get out of a good church and go off to some dead, dried up, sorry, good for nothing slop just because that's where their wife told them they were going to go. Now, here's what I believe. I don't believe any man can make any woman submit to him. I don't. I mean, you try to beat her into submission, but all that's going to do is get you put in jail. That ain't going to work. You know what I mean? So ultimately, no man can make a woman be in submission to him. She'll choose to be in submission or she'll choose to be in rebellion. It's that simple. Can't make them. This is what I do believe. I do believe that if a man has a wife who has a spirit of rebellion and refuses to accept his headship in the home, that he ought to go on and do what God tells him to do. And if she wants to come along, then fine. But not the other way around. The intimidation, the threats, I'm going over here, you can come, I'm taking our children and running off. He ought to get up an hour ahead of time on Sunday morning and get those kids ready and take those kids to the church that he believes God wants them to go. And if she wants to come along and join them, fine. If not, then she can go wherever she wants to. That's how it ought to be. I told y'all we was going to have fun. I have never backed up from the Word of God in the years I've been in ministry, and I'm not going to back up from it now. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, and you can do with it what you want to, okay? But if you want your family to be right, then you'll do what the Bible says. In everything, spiritual matters. If the husband says, let's gather around, read the Bible, you gather around, read the Bible. Spiritual matters. Family matters, the leading of the family, whatever direction he believes God intends for that family to go. You don't harass him and yell at him and scream at him and say, well, I just ain't going to do it. That's not subjection. That's not submission. That's a bad, bad spirit is what that is. If you look on down at verse number 33, where it says the wife, she reverence her husband. To reverence your husband is to treat your husband with respect. To be polite, to be kind to him, not be screaming and hollering at him and threatening him. And, you know, and obviously submitting to your husband is part of reverencing your husband. There's no question about that. But this thing, and I see this and hear it a lot, I can't figure this one either, ladies that will get their husband out in a public place and humiliate him in front of folks. I have never understood that. I don't get where you get your husband out around other women that's your friends or other men that's his friends and say things to him or about him in the presence of other people that you know will embarrass him. I don't get that. And I see that a lot and hear it a lot. I have actually seen where women want to have women's meetings at the church and they turn into husband beating meetings is what they turn into. The women get together and have them a little party and they spend the whole hour and a half talking about how sorry their husbands are. I have seen that before in churches. Is that reverencing your husband? No. You treat the man with respect. You say, well, he doesn't deserve it. Well, we probably don't, okay? We probably don't sometimes. But I don't see where the Bible says you respect your husband or reverence your husband if he deserves it. Let me ask you this. Do you deserve God to be good to you? No, you don't. You don't deserve God to do anything for you. He does things for us in spite of us, doesn't he? Not because of us, but in spite of us, he does stuff for us. And he expects us to do right even when somebody else isn't doing right. You may not be able to control the other person, but what I've found is God's not really worried about that. He's concerned about me and how I act. He'll deal with that other person in his own time and his own way. He's looking at me and how I act toward a person. Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? If the other person isn't, then God will deal with them. But am I doing what I'm supposed to do? And in the case of the wives, just, you know, ladies, ask yourself, am I being a submissive wife? Am I being subject to my own husband the way I need to, or do I have a spirit of rebellion toward my husband? Do I honor him as the head of our home and the head of me? Do I do that? Do I respect him? Do I reverence him? Do I treat him the way I want him to treat me? Is that how I am? It's important. And it's important that you do these things even if you have a husband who isn't doing what he's supposed to do. Because that's the constant thing, that the feedback that I get is, well, I would submit to my husband if he would do what he's supposed to. I would reverence my husband if he would do what he's supposed to. Could you show me that in the Bible, please? And I'm not being facetious or funny or trying to belittle anybody. Can you show me that in the Bible? Can you show me in the Bible where God says you submit to your husband and you reverence your husband if he's doing everything he's supposed to do? That's not in the Bible. He tells you what to do, and you're supposed to do that. In fact, let me show you this. Turn over to the book of 1 Peter with me. And I want to say this about, and I do realize you have a lot of situations where you have a good Christian wife and you have a husband who's not that. Okay, I get that. What should be the, if you have a situation like that where you have a good Christian wife and you have a husband who's not a good Christian, he's not living the kind of life he needs to live, as the wife, what should be the main desire you have for your husband? To get him to be like you want him to be? To get him to the point where he'll try to be the man God wants him to be, right? It's not about trying to conform him to your image. It's not about trying to change him and make him into the person you want him to be, which happens so often in marriages, both ways. Husband's wife, I've seen that, where they try to change each other and mold them into their own image. That's not what it's about. It's not about me making my wife like I want her to be or vice versa. The goal is that she be the woman God wants her to be and I be the man God wants me to be. And when we get to that point, then we'll be toward each other the way we're supposed to be, right? That's the way that thing will be, see? So if you have a husband that is not doing right, the goal should be to behave in a manner that hopefully would help that husband get right with the Lord. Amen? You don't want to act in a manner that would drive him further away. You don't want to do things that would cause him maybe to become more bitter and more angry and more resentful and just push you further away and push God further away. You want to act in a manner that hopefully would tender his heart and soften him up to where he would have a repentant attitude and want to get right with God. And let me show you what the Bible says about that. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. This addresses the issue of whether or not you should be submissive to your husband if he's not doing right. 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now look at this. That if any obey not the word, this is a husband that's not obedient, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Conversation, not just what you say, but your whole manner of life, the whole lifestyle that you have. So you got a situation where you have a disobedient husband, and he won't listen to the word of God. You be in subjection to him, even though he's not doing right, and you do it for the purpose of hopefully winning him back to the Lord. Y'all see that in the verse? Y'all see that? That's the goal. I can promise you, screaming at him and hollering at him and threatening him and being mean and calling him names and cussing him and all that kind of stuff. You say, does that go on in homes? Yeah, it does. Awful lot of screaming and hollering and cussing and fussing and just throwing pots and pans, and one sleeping in one bedroom, one sleeping in the other, and don't talk for 2 or 3 days. That kind of stuff goes on. That's not going to help anybody. It's not going to resolve anything. Never has, never will. Never has, never will. Look at verse 2, 1 Peter 3:2. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. That is, they're watching your life. And they're won. They're won to the Lord by what they see in your life. A spirit of submission and reverence toward them. Through that, they're won. Verse 3 says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. Let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament, here it is, of a meek and quiet spirit. Not fussing and cussing and hollering and screaming and bickering and nitpicking, a meek and a quiet spirit. Which, look at this now, is in the sight of God of great price. That kind of spirit in a woman, in other words, is very valuable to God. It's of great price to the Lord. For after this manner, now here's this, y'all just read it here. We're in the Bible, aren't we? I mean, aren't we reading the Bible tonight? We're in the Word of God. We hadn't got away from the Bible yet, have we? We've been in the Bible the whole time. Okay. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves. They adorned themselves with a meek and quiet spirit. They were holy. They trusted God. They adorned themselves with a meek and quiet spirit. Look at it. Being in subjection unto their own husbands. He's going to give you an illustration of one of these women. Verse 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham. She obeyed him. That means he told her to do something and she did it. Isn't that what obedience is? I mean, isn't that the definition of obedience? Like God tells me to do something and I do what he tells me? That's obedience, right? Disobedience is when I don't do what God tells me to do. So Abraham told Sarah to do something and guess what she did? She obeyed him. She didn't rebel against him. She obeyed him. And God chalks her up, verse 5, with holy women that trust God, that adorn themselves with a meek and quiet spirit and are in subjection to their own husbands. Sarah here is praised for what she did with her husband. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Let me give you an illustration in the life of Sarah and Abraham. Do y'all remember a time when Abraham told his wife to tell a lie? Do y'all remember that? He said, we're going to go down here and they're going to think you a good-looking woman. I'm giving y'all the Living Bible translation of it here. They're going to go down, we're going to go down here and they're going to think you a good-looking woman, and they're going to kill me to get you. So this is what I want you to do. You go down there and you tell them that you are my what?
Sister.
My sister. What'd Sarah do? Sarah went right down there and told a big fat whopping lie. Because that's what her husband told her to do. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I don't think y'all hear what I'm saying. But that is right there in the Bible. We just read it. There's a woman who was told by her husband to do something that I think most of us would say is not right. It's not right to tell a lie. But she did it. Now, how do you justify something like that? How do you justify it? Well, I'm going to tell you what I think about it. I believe that God will hold that man responsible. He's the head, right? He's the head of the wife. He tells his wife to do something wrong. She does it. He's not going to hold her responsible. He's going to reward her for the fact that she honored her husband and did what she was supposed to do. He's going to hold the man responsible because he's the head of the home, the head of the family, and he's the one that told her to tell a lie, right? If I lead my family in the wrong direction and my wife has a spirit of submission toward me and she goes along with it, even though in her heart she knows that we're going in a direction that really isn't right, but she goes along with it because I say that's what we need to do, the Lord's going to bless her for what she does, and he's going to whip the devil out of me for what I do. He's going to deal with me because I'm the head of the home. I'm the head of the family. So, back in Ephesians chapter 5. Any questions before we, I think we're going to stop. We'll pick up on the wives, the husbands on Sunday. Any questions about what we looked at? I know y'all got some.